Und zwar werden wir uns jetzt anhören, was Chris Pidcock uns berichten wird. Er ist nämlich Chief Technical Officer bei SiriProc. Das ist eine Sprachsynthese-Firma in Edinburgh in Schottland. Und das Unternehmen ist auf die Erstellung natürlicher und expressiv klingender Text-zu-Sprache-Stimmen damit beschäftigt. Und sie haben zum Beispiel eine neue Sprache von John F. Kennedy 100 Jahre, nachdem er geboren wurde, auch wieder zum Leben gebracht. Und Chris wird uns das jetzt vorstellen. Herzlich willkommen. Schön, dass du da bist.
Thanks very much. And thanks for inviting me. Yeah, it's great to be here. Nico's just done a brilliant job of introducing lots of the technologies that I'm going to talk about. And I'm going to show you some kind of practical examples of text-to-speech and maybe some practical examples of fake news as well. So a little bit about us. I'm one of the founders of SiriProc. We've been going for quite a long time now, and we purely focus on text-to-speech voices and making them more natural, more emotional, and improving the quality continuously and bringing it to new markets. We can basically deploy this technology on anything from a mobile phone or even like a thermostat these days, tiny devices, up to servers in the cloud, in many, many languages, many, many voices. And we use a variety of the techniques that Nico's handily explained. So unit selection is the cutting and splicing technique that has been used kind of commonly because it's given the highest quality up to now. And then we also have deep neural networks and modeled speech that uses a vocoder and WaveNet style, I would call it, which is directly trying to model the waveforms that you see in speech. One thing that we've focused on for some years is trying to make it easier and quicker to build these voices. We spend about 30 hours in the studio with a voiceover for a high-quality voice, but we've always wanted to bring that down so that more people could basically build the voices. This is really important for what we call voice cloning, which is basically just building one person's voice for them to use. So if, for example, you have a degenerative illness or throat cancer, you can record your own voice for a couple of hours. And then if you do lose the power of speech, you can use a device, your PC or Mac or assistive device, to speak with your own voice. And the quality is not quite as good as the very high quality large database voices, but it's still worth it because you get to keep your voice. And we can also use existing data for this kind of project as well. Which brings me on to Jamie Dupree, who's a broadcast journalist in the States. Because he had many years of broadcasting, he had a lot of data of his voice, a lot of recordings, really high quality. And we could take that data, transcribe it, build a model that sounds like his voice, so he can now start broadcasting again. So I'll just show you if this video works. I might be pressed twice.
With the use of technology, our WSB Washington correspondent Jamie Dupree is expected back on WSB radio in just a few days. We told you about him losing his voice nearly 2 years ago. Channel 2's Justin Wilfond says a computer will now allow Dupree to have that voice again.
Jamie Dupree has covered Capitol Hill for more than three decades, but you have not been able to hear his voice in nearly 2 years. That's when Dupree developed a rare neurological disorder that prevents him from fully speaking.
It's hard, but I am working to come back hard.
Recordings of Dupree's voice were sent to a software company in Scotland called SiriProc. They were able to file several years of Dupree's recorded words into a computer. Now, when Dupree types a sentence, he's able to hear his computerized voice say those exact words.
Mainly due to tax refunds being paid out by the IRS so far this fiscal year.
Losing his voice has not only been tough for Dupree at work, but also for his family, especially his children. Beginning Monday, Dupree will be back at Atlanta's WSB Radio and on WSB sister stations in Ohio, Oklahoma, and Florida. Dupree's sister told us the computerized voice gives the family hope.
To hear his voice again is quite something, and we're so grateful that this is even a possibility, and obviously excited about going forward, what it, you know, what it can mean for him.
Justin Wilfond, Channel 2 Action News.
It's a medical mystery what happened to Jamie, but this now modern technology sort of fixes it.
Brings it all back.
Yeah.
It is incredible.
Something. It is incredible. We're going to hear Jamie Dupree on WSB Radio beginning next Monday, June 18th.
Okay, so that's an example. And I have a little example of a bit more of his speech. You didn't hear much of the voice in that one.
Earlier this month, I was here in Atlanta for treatment at Emory University's Brain Center when my new computer voice arrived. Testing it out since then, it has been a very exciting last 10 days. Once again, thank you very much for this honor. It means a great deal to me, and thank you for giving me the chance to speak again.
Thank you. Thank you. Congratulations.
Sorry. So the voice for Jamie Dupree is actually now being, we're still working on that. We're using the deep neural network techniques that we've been developing to bring on the quality from that and improve it further. Okay, so another little project that we've recently carried out that was released in March of this year, in collaboration with the Times newspaper and Rothko in Ireland, was to create the voice of John F. Kennedy based on speeches that he'd given over his life. The idea there was to be able to finally deliver the speech that he was going to give on the day that he was assassinated. Now, for this project, we took huge amounts of data. It was very noisy, very difficult to work with. We had to clean it up and build one of these voices built on mainly the kind of cut and paste unit selection technique. And we combine that with using deep learning to model his particular speaking style, because his prosody or intonation is very, very unique to him. Now, that story went on the front cover of the Times, and they claimed that they got a billion impressions and a Twitter reach of 51 million. So it was an extremely successful project. But coming back to what Nick said about trust, this really is, in a sense, fake news. I mean, we've JFK did not make this speech. It's his voice and it's his words, but he didn't do this. And why was this not an issue? Well, partly because of the trust in the particular media channel that was presenting it.
In a world of complex and continuing problems, in a world full of frustrations and irritations, America's leadership must be guided by the lights of learning and reason, or else those who confuse rhetoric with reality and the plausible with the possible will gain the popular ascendance with their seemingly swift and simple solutions to every world problem. There will always be dissident voices heard in the land expressing opposition without alternatives, finding fault but never favor, perceiving gloom on every side, and seeking influence without responsibility. Those voices are inevitable. We cannot expect that everyone, to use the phrase of a decade ago, will talk sense to the American people. But we can hope that fewer people will listen and answer.
That always gives me chills, possibly the political message, the sound of the voice again. It was a very kind of humbling project to work on in many ways. So just a little bit about why you should be using text-to-speech in media in general. If you have dynamic content, interactive content, if you want to talk to your users by name, give them a personalized channel, you need text-to-speech. There's a huge tail of media, a huge number of obviously books that are not audiobooks, news articles that are not read, and people want to consume that. You also may want to be making data more accessible to people who are blind or partially sighted, and they may be using your your apps in hands busy, eyes busy environments, driving or cooking, walking. And you may also have limited resources. You might not have enough resources to have a radio station or a media outlet that's channeled at one location, but you can support it with text-to-speech to maybe pull in local adverts, local news, or local weather reports without having to get a voiceover or a professional to record that. And another reason you might want to use text-to-speech voices is for fun.
Computers. Robotics. Chicken. Here at KFC, agents of the future have created Heartland.
Hello, I'm Heartland, human-assisted robotic linguistic animatronic network device. I am here to welcome you to KFC. Would you like a $5 fill-up?
How far can technology be pushed before it's too far?
Pull up to the drive-thru window, please.
Or is there such a thing as too far?
Have a nice day.
I think we have our answer.
Yes. I think we do have our answer. That is a fully synthetic robot, Colonel Sanders, using a text-to-speech voice to communicate. That was a project with Whedon and Kennedy in the United States. Now, I'll just show you a little example of the WaveNet-style synthesis technique that that Nico talked about. I think you'll agree that the quality has moved on in kind of leaps and bounds in recent years.
WaveNet-style speech synthesis directly models the speech waveform, giving new levels of clarity and naturalness to text-to-speech voices. Sarah Prock is working to bring this technology to all our users in all of our 14 languages.
That is synthetic. That was not recorded. We have an American female voice that we recorded totally different data, and she never said that. So it's getting to the point where this technology will really be indistinguishable from human speech. And I think the way that we have to deal with that is by trusted media channels, maintaining that level of trust, and educating the listeners and the viewers that you can't trust everything that you see. This isn't really new, but it's just new in this kind of domain.
WaveNet-style speech synthesis.
Sorry. Great. Thanks very much.